top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today, Wednesday, March 27th. In the headline, pharmacist Carlton Lando asks parents to develop solution-based communications with their children or youth, especially if they notice them struggling in schoolwork or with a particular subject.
Regional and global.
The United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, raised the alarm on Tuesday over increased armed violence in Haiti that is leading to a major crisis of malnutrition in the country. And the U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday cast doubts about the legal standing of anti-abortion groups' challenge, which could impose limitations on how abortion pills medication is prescribed and distributed.
Local, region.
The news is brought to you compliments, Archipelago Trading Agents of Beacon Insurance Limited.
FDA.
Details coming up next.
Sure, you settle for more. Get up to 35% off Beacon's fully comprehensive vehicle insurance and still cover a whole lot more. Enjoy higher discounts and better coverage for any kind of vehicle, car, SUV, or pickup with free loss of use, windscreen cover, and special perils. To sign up, call Archipelago Trading at 448-5247 or log on to beacon.co.tt and settle for more today.
Pharmacist Carlton Lando admonishes parents to develop the habit of solution-based communication with their children or youth if they notice their child struggling with schoolwork or a particular subject. While addressing listeners on Q95 FM earlier today on Jolly's Health Vibes program, Mr. Lando emphasized that a positive reinforcement affects the learning and mental ability of people, regardless of their age.
You know, well, okay, what's the matter with English? What are you not understanding? Okay, maybe we can, let me try to see if we can get a tutor to assist you, because it's not my area of expertise. But, you know, you come with solutions.
Correct.
You know, you come with solutions. So we really want to encourage parents as well to reward your children, to speak positive things into their lives, speak good, positive affirmations to them, look at them in their eye, and let them know that they can make it. You know, they can make it. Pick up the concepts, apply the concepts, and you will do well.
And that was pharmacist Carlton Lando. A recent report released by UNESCO on behalf of UN Water reveals that 2.2 billion individuals still lack access to safely manage drinking water, while 3.5 billion lack access to safely manage sanitation services. Achieving the UN goal of universal access by 2030 remains a distant objective, while concerns mounting over widening disparities. Between 2002 and 2021, droughts impacted over 1.4 billion people globally. Currently, approximately half of the world's population faces severe water scarcity at some point during the year, with a quarter experiencing extremely high levels of water stress, utilizing over 80% of their annual renewable freshwater supply. Climate change is anticipated to exacerbate these challenges, posing significant threats to social stability. The repercussions of water scarcity extend beyond basic needs, adversely affecting living conditions and escalating food insecurity and health risk. Particularly vulnerable are girls and women, who often bear the brunt of water scarcity's burdens. Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Environment Lucian Blackmore emphasizes the importance of creating a platform for collective discourse when examining matters of public interest. He reflected on the recently concluded stakeholder roundtable discussion held during Forest Week 2024. And highlighted the value of learning from others' perspectives in order to address prevailing issues.
We have to understand that when we look at public interest, especially things as a common space, as the forest, it has to be as a collective. And so those kind of gathering really affords us the opportunity to really take time off to hear each other out, to listen to each other, to exchange views and opinion, and most importantly, to learn the lessons from others. And I am one of those that think that when we go through life, one of our preoccupation ought to be to get things right from the first instant. And one of the ways of assuring you get things right from the first instant is to expose yourself to the wisdom, advice, and lessons of others. I don't think it really makes sense to really go through trial and error in certain circumstances when you have partners and you have friends and you have colleagues, and more so professional expertise allow you the value of doing things the right way the first time.
Blackmore added that overlooking the importance of managing natural elements is not an option, as even a small misstep can lead to significant consequences, affecting both the environment and human beings who rely on it for their survival.
I'm saying this because we have to understand that dealing with elements of the nature are not things we can leave, because I like to be very graphic sometimes. How would you feel waking up one morning if you're that fortunate just to realize there is no longer air available, there's no longer water available, and there's no longer sunlight available? And I said, if you're fortunate, most of us would have died in our sleeps. So I always like to keep things in common perspective when sometimes people don't see the need for collective. If you have a situation where you might be a very thirsty person, almost to the point of exhaustion, and someone, a good Samaritan, comes along the way and he has a bar of gold in one hand, pure gold, it might be in excess of 5 kilograms, and a glass of fresh water in the other. Which one would you think? The person who wouldn't go for the water first. And we're talking about normal people, normal rational people, that is. So we're making the exception there for irrational thinking. You would obviously go for the water. And that's why I sometimes remind people there's a distinction, a vast distinction, between what is important or what might seem to be more valuable in terms of economic or financial sense, and what is more vital.
Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Environment, Lucien Blackmore, a former Minister of Tourism and Coordinator of the Digital Economy Unit, Robert Tong, says the improvements and investments made by the government in Dominica's digital infrastructure from 2017 to date was a wise move which bolsters the country's digital economy, further advancing the lives of citizens and keeping Dominica's business community globally competitive. Mr. Tong recalls that from 2017 to previous years, citizens and businesses' reliance on cash transactions were high. However, since the commencement of the project, Dominica has modernized its digital financial landscape, giving citizens and businesses greater convenience when conducting transactions.
Back then, persons had to go to the ATMs were closed. So what the government firstly started off by doing was to ensure that we beefed up our infrastructure, to ensure that all of our government institutions, our primary institutions, were all interconnected by a WAN infrastructure. So that all, even if there's no power, most of the locations could still speak with each other. To ensure that there was also redundancy, that in the event, let's say, any of these cables were cut, you could still have communication by Wi-Fi. You could also have direct access, and you could also have satellite connectivity. It also included having proper data centers, so in case one data center went down, there was another one that would still be available. So it was very important to ensure that your infrastructure was put in place. And because the government also realized that digital was the way forward, that we didn't want anyone to be left behind. And that's where the whole issue of the different projects, and especially the digital transformation project came into play, was to ensure that our people are educated and are skilled in order to maximize on these.
And that was a former Minister of Tourism and Coordinator of Dominica's Digital Economy, Robert Tong. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit arrived in Boa Hinanan province on Wednesday, where he will address the Boa Forum for Asia 2024. Mr. Skerrit is leading a government delegation of 20 persons in China to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic ties between Dominica and the People's Republic of China. He will address the opening ceremony of the summit, which brings together world leaders to expand political dialogue and international cooperation in the search for comprehensive and effective solutions to global problems. The Prime Minister is expected to call on attending heads of government to strengthen cooperation and solidarity among countries to provide effective responses to common financial, economic, and social crises. The Dominica leader will point to gross inequalities between developed and developing countries and the effects of climate change, which threatened the existence of low-lying small island developing states like Dominica. The Dominican delegation will make a final stop in Shanghai, China on Friday. During the recent discussion on a local radio program, Andrea Rivera, the destination marketing manager at Discover Dominica Authority, emphasized the significance of festivals and events as integral components of the island's tourism offerings, noting their substantial contributions to economic activity. Rivera highlighted that these festivals would draw patrons to the northern part of the island, consequently stimulating economic activity not only in the area but also throughout the country.
All festivals and events play a major role in being products, that is tourism products. Sometimes when we think about tourism products, and when the minute you hear tourism, what we speak of is international, individuals coming in. But there is a very important component of tourism, which is the domestic part. And jazz and Creole is one of the largest when it comes to very focused on domestic tourism. That is that it pulls, literally as a pull factor for the northern area. It pulls Dominicans coming into Portsmouth, and definitely with that you have more economic activities. Individuals who may not be, let's say, people who have stalls, food stalls every day or over the weekend, take that opportunity to say, you know what, I have my food handler's permit, I can, you know, definitely dish out a great meal. Let me use that time to open a little business and start selling. So it really boosts economic activities well enough.
She also briefly mentioned various stakeholders that are set to benefit from the hosting of the 13th edition of the Jazz and Creole Festival on the island, and underscores its significance as a catalyst for economic development.
Even we have hair stylists, we have a lot of people actually moving to or looking towards renting the rooms and certain properties for the weekend, friends coming together and say, okay, we're going to rent a vehicle and carpool. And so even rental companies like the rental cars and the apartments and so forth get an opportunity to rent their properties, their vehicles for the local visitors that are coming from different points in Dominica. So that is definitely, it's really and truly definitely a pull factor and an economic booster for the northern area.
And that was Andrea Rivera, the destination marketing manager at Discover Dominica Authority. Following their participation, a five-day regional seminar on ecosystem restoration organized by the Natural Infrastructure for Caribbean Resilience NICA program, three representatives from NGOs in Dominica expressed their appreciation for the opportunity to participate and learn. They highlighted their intention to share the knowledge gained with their respective NGOs to integrate into their operations and projects in Dominica. As participants observed during the GAAPA experience, the Dominicans and other attendees assisted communities in creating fire breaks, clearing fire lines, and pathways to mitigate the occurrence of bush and forest fires. Moreover, the Dominican participants recognized the value of NICA's efforts to foster local and regional connections alongside the knowledge exchange factor.
Well, for me, it was a learning experience. I must say it was very interesting. I met some of my NICA family for this seminar, and some of the policies that I learned about, I never knew. So I am saying right now that I feel that I'm more aware of what is needed to be done to help protect see the forest. I also was able to see the different fire breakers. I didn't know much about that. So for me, it was a good learning experience, I must say.
As my colleague said, it was a very enlightening experience. And I think going back to Dominica Red Cross, it provided some, I can say, appreciation for conservation initiatives. And it provided some real life experience, hands-on experience as to what our colleagues are doing, what has worked, what hasn't worked. So some best practices have been identified and we will go back and put those into action.
Well, quite honest, I learned quite a bit. Some of the practices that I saw, even yesterday and even today, some of these practices I've seen first-hand view of it back in Dominica. So, but there are certain techniques that I saw up here that I will bring back over to Dominica, especially to our organization. And during the seminar, I learned quite a bit from the different countries as to the way in which they go ahead and do certain things. And I've seen it yesterday through the Gaia. We have something similar which we call Kudme, where we bring in, it's a patois word, but we're still coming along and helping people, and you bring along the same food and the drink. And yes, you mingle around with each other and you share food and drink, but it's also a day for work. So practically most of this thing we do have it back home. But some of the techniques, like the doing the different drainage on the mountainside, all these are kind of new to me. So certainly I'll be taking this type of things back home to Dominica.
Representatives from various NGOs in Dominica. In other news, an alarming surge in armed violence in areas of Haiti is heightening the risk of malnutrition crisis in the country. The United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, warned on Tuesday. Findings from the recent Integrated Food Security Phase Classification Analysis indicated an alarming 19% increase in the number of children estimated to suffer from severe acute malnutrition in Haiti this year. Around 1.64 million people are facing emergency levels of acute food insecurity, that's IPC Phase 4, which increases the risk of child wasting and malnutrition. The ongoing armed violence across Anti-Bonite Department and the West Department, which encompasses Port-au-Prince, has restricted aid delivery and severely weakened an already fragile healthcare system, posing an imminent threat to the lives of over 125 children at risk. Catherine Russell, UNICEF Executive Director, says that the violence and instability in Haiti have consequences far beyond the risk of violence itself, adding that the situation is creating a child health and nutrition crisis that could cost the lives of countless of children in Haiti. And the U.S. Supreme Court hinted a reluctance to restrict access to the abortion pill, expressing doubt about the legal standing of an anti-abortion groups and doctors challenging its use. Justices heard arguments in an appeal by President Joe Biden's administration against a lower court ruling favoring the plaintiffs, which sought to impose limitations on how the medication is prescribed and distributed.
Activists on both sides of the abortion debate faced off outside the U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday, while inside, the justices heard arguments in a case that could determine the fate of a widely used abortion medication called mifepristone. A group of four doctors and four medical associations who oppose abortion brought the challenge to the drug. They claim the Food and Drug Administration wrongly decided to make such medications available for use at up to 10 weeks of pregnancy, and in allowing the drug to be sent by mail without an initial in-person visit to a clinic. The Biden administration appealed a lower court ruling that would have limited how the pills are prescribed and distributed. The U.S. Solicitor General Elizabeth Perlegar told the justices the plaintiffs didn't have standing, meaning they hadn't been harmed, and the court should dismiss the case.
We don't think they come within 100 miles of the kind of circumstances this court has previously identified of non-speculative harm that can create the kind of cognizable injury for forward-looking relief.
The Supreme Court has a 6-3 conservative majority. after a 2022 ruling that overturned a 50-year precedent protecting a constitutional right to abortion. Numerous states enacted Republican-backed measures banning or sharply restricting the procedure. Since then, medication abortion has become the most common method of ending pregnancies in the United States, now accounting for more than 60% of abortions. Mifepristone is taken with another drug called misoprostol to perform medication abortions. Plaintiffs have said that the use of mifepristone could lead to higher hospital visits and result in some doctors who oppose abortion on moral grounds being forced to complete failed medical abortions. But the justices seemed skeptical that these claims might justify restrictions on the drug. Here's conservative Associate Justice Neil Gorsuch.
And this case seems like a prime example of turning what could be a small lawsuit into a nationwide legislative assembly on an FDA rule.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Pharmacist Carlton Lando asked parents to develop solution-based communications with their children or youth, especially if they notice them struggling with schoolwork or with a particular subject. The United Nations Children's Fund UNICEF raised the alarm on Tuesday over increased armed violence in Haiti that is leading to a major crisis of malnutrition in the country. And the U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday cast doubts about the legal standing of anti-abortion groups' challenge, which would impose limitations on how abortion pills medication is prescribed and distributed. Q95. The news has brought to you compliments Archipelago Trading, agents of Beacon Insurance Limited. I am for this environment.
Top of the hour news as it happens.